Hello, and welcome to Safari Conversations, the Singita podcast. Even though we've been around for 30 years, we're relatively new to podcasting. But we are storytellers by nature, and we've got so much to share with you. Alongside our conservation partners, we've been busy exploring and protecting Africa's wilderness. So join us as we unpack inspiring, fun, and sometimes crazy stories where you'll meet our incredible people and learn all about the special places in Africa that we call home. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes.
Welcome to another episode of Safari Conversations. I'm Ross Cooper, the resident photographer for Singida, and I'm excited to be back here at Rwanda at Singida Volcanoes National Park. Today I'm joined by Martin Tiasenga, our community partnership manager at Kwatonda and Kataza House. And in this episode of Travel for Good, How Your Travel to Rwanda Supports, we're going to be exploring how guests who visit here create a lasting impact. Far beyond the gorilla trek itself, we'll be exploring how your travel supports local communities, conservation, and that adds a brighter future for Rwanda. Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ross. I'm very happy to be here with you and very excited to share my story with you.
Well, we're excited to hear your story, Martin. It feels surreal being back here at Rwanda at the moment. It's truly a bucket list destination for many people, not only because of the gorilla and the golden monkey treks, but for the food, the culture, and what really captures your heart is the warmth and the spirit of its people. And that brings me to you, Martin, and your exceptional passion for your work. Maybe if you could start telling us a bit about yourself and your background and what drew you to conservation, particularly your work about the communities that surround Singita and the Volcanoes National Park.
My name is Martin Tuisenge. I'm Community Partnership Manager at Kwatonda and Kataza House. Both my background, conservation and wildlife, has never been in my dreams. After completing my secondary studies, my early 20s, I started a working career as a teacher in a primary school in an area which was very close to one protected area, which is Akaja National Park. From there, I got opportunity to start hearing about conservation, about wildlife, about animals, buffalo, elephant. And later on, I got a chance of having a job in Akaja National Park. That I've been in conservation for 18 years. Now, for different positions, starting from being a park ranger to becoming a community liaison officer to assistant community liaison manager, now community partnership manager at Singita, Kwatonda and Kataza House here in Rwanda. What I do with the community, first of all, to work into 100 years purpose of Singita, which is to try to facilitate preservation of large tracts of African wilderness for future generation, and most importantly, of working with the people towards, you know, a sustainable change. So my role turns around three main areas of focus, which are awareness for conservation. I'm supposed to go out into the community, meeting them, for them to get to know me, for me to get to know them, so for them to understand what we do as Singita, and for me to explain what we expect from them, and for them to share with me maybe what they expect from us. And then we start to build a partnership and working together. I use different approaches to try to meet people from different levels, from different areas. The second area of focus is community development. Awareness conservation can't go alone. Most of people tries to interpret awareness for conservation as a way of preventing people from relying on the natural resources that they have been relying on for so long, which is not easy. That's why there should be another approach to make sure they understand a alternative source of resources. That's how the development comes in. Community development, it brings also awareness, what they should do. If they have been relying on, let's say, hunting, killing animals for meat, or maybe for money, is there any maybe way of, you know, doing something else that can help them to, you know, to earn kind of resource? We keep telling people, don't cut trees, you are disturbing wildlife. Don't cut grass. What else they should be? There's also a way of awareness about changing mindset, going for other opportunities instead of relying on wildlife. That's why I also go for different projects to help them to earn money, earn resources. But also the third area of focus, which is a human wildlife conflict management. This is conservation area. It has got some animals, buffaloes, elephant, among others. Make them aware of all these things. How to behave around the animals. What they should do to protect these animals.
Well, I can definitely say that there's going to be a few challenges. It's always difficult to change people's mindset. And if you've been doing it for 1,000 years one way, and to understand that in order to conserve the natural resources around us with the wildlife, we need to change on how we implement certain things, whether it be how we farm, how we work, or how there's a source of income. So I think awareness is quite key as well. Now, most travelers that come to Rwanda, they go on the gorilla trek, of course, which is incredible. But there's a bit of a ripple effect of those guests going onto those gorilla treks. And I recently learned that the Rwanda Development Board is allocating 10% of trekking fees to the local communities. What is the role at Singita currently, and what kind of projects is yourself or Singita working on with the neighboring villages around this area?
Here around Singita, we work with 6 villages, which are very close to our property in Singita, the population of 5,500 people. But also, we are not very limited to one of these villages because sometimes we expand and go a bit far. So all the activities that we are now doing, you know, reaches 25,000 people in this region. But also, we shall keep expanding because our strategic development area as Singita reach 2 sectors, covering averagely between 50,000 and 60,000 people. Now, some of the projects that we have tried to do, one, we have been trying to donate and do installation of rainwater harvesting system to households.
And that you're doing to each of those villages?
It is 6 villages. So we always start from the closest communities, expanding little by little, going far.
And that rain installation is because there's no running water in those villages?
Actually, the installation of this rainwater harvesting system is 2 problems. One, this region is known for a lot of rains. If rainwater is not retained, it can cause water runoff, you know, reaching to soil erosion. Mm-hmm. So providing this rainwater harvesting system is to solve this issue. And this water is used. This is utilized at household level for different activities, hygiene, garden, you know, around the kitchen. So far, we gave 84 rainwater tanks, because 284 families, understandably. And we still have more before the end of this year. So this number will increase to 140 families. We gave one big rainwater tank to one administrative office, T-cell office. We provided rainwater harvesting system to 3 local schools. A total of 23 big rainwater tanks were installed at these 3 schools.
Water is life. I mean, it's important. Everybody requires to have water to use for different purposes, as you say. So out of those tanks that are being installed, I would imagine that these projects are long-standing. And I think that creates that rapport with the community, and your position is incredibly important to create that trust that sort of shows the sustainability sides of community, but also towards conservation. That's quite incredible. So water tanks in schools. Are there other projects that you're currently working on?
There is a list again. We also try to upgrade a combined pitch for volley and basket for the youth to be able to do sport. Sport is very, very important. For us, Singita, we look it as a proper way of having the community on board, especially youth. Sport is health. It helps them, and we really want the health people. But also having people doing sports, it's a way of meeting them and discussing. We shall even keep improving it. Next year, we'll be having a soccer tournament. So to make sure the sport is strong, it keeps helping us to have more people. It keeps becoming a proper channel for us to deliver a conservation message to the community. We also try to build the capacity of community to be able to sustain themselves. So we trained one youth-led cooperative doing chicken farming. We gave them a chicken coop, which can accommodate at least 1,000 chickens. We even gave them around 800 chickens and, of course, a training. We linked them to one chicken business company for technical assistance, but also for helping them to go deeper into this kind of business.
So it'll almost be like a farmer. They become a farmer to the chickens and not only use them for a resource, but also to earn money. They could either sell eggs or sell further chickens.
Yeah, that definitely. So this is a project that maybe we will keep evolving. They started buying one day chick to raise them and sell them after 1 month. That's how they started. But with the expectation of changing it and try to even raise the chickens that can give eggs as a source of money. And we trained dancing troupe from the community as well. It's still for building their capacity. Dancing is among the community, say, tourism activities that are around here. A lot of guests, they like joining the people for this kind of dancing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a beautiful way to share the culture of Rwanda and allow guests that are staying at Singita to also experience that culture through a sense of sight of viewing them dancing, but also the sound or the music that they make with the dance.
Mm. So the community have discovered that this can be a business, a source of income. But most of the time, they don't have enough capacity. They don't have enough equipment. So what we did at Singita, we gave them a training, a strong training. We brought a professional training in dancing for a good period of time for them to be able to capture everything in dancing. And at the end, we gave them enough equipment for them to be able to go and look for businesses. So after this training, it's actually a troop of 35 people. So they're now looking for opportunities in the different lodges and the hotels here around. And of course, they go, they do performance, and of course, they earn money.
There's obviously some really good projects that are just with the chicken farming and the dance troupe. And there's a few other that come to mind that I'm aware of, it's especially the establishment of the Wildlife and Tourism Cooperative, where cooperative income that's been generated through alien plant invasion, the buffalo stone wall, tree planting, and tree propagation. I've seen the buffalo stone wall. Maybe if you could just touch on a few points there on how important that is.
Yeah. Actually, there is another community project. A group of people, they started a community wildlife and tourism cooperative. It was a club, environmental protection club. I gave them an idea of including supporting Singita through mobilization of their fellows about preventing the issues that we have been facing of people who used to bring their cattle for grazing, who come for tree cutting and grass cutting. After doing it, formed a kind of partnership. It became now an opportunity. Singita will win and they win. So we provided incentive to them. Every month, we are supposed to give them a certain amount of money for them to keep doing this kind of support for protecting the property against issues that we have been facing. Through this cooperative, you mentioned the buffalo stone wall down there on the property. It was actually put up recently as a part of mitigation measure for the issues that might be caused by buffaloes to the community. And it was put up by this same group, this community wildlife and tourism group, because they proved that they are able to work and achieve a lot. Because the issues of cattle grazing, grass cutting, and the tree cutting, they are almost over. I would say like 99.9% they are over. So that's why we gave this opportunity of putting up this buffalo wall. Of course, we gave them money to do that.
And to put it in perspective to the people that haven't visited the Singida Volcanoes National Park region, where the lodge is located, the distance from the national park, we're on the foothills of some of the volcanoes, and there's a small expansion of land. And maybe if you can just go into that to explain that there's an extension from the Volcanoes National Park. And a number of wildlife are moving down, and that wildlife, obviously Singita would like to prevent them from moving into the community and cause that human-wildlife conflict that you said that's part of your responsibility. And that's why we have that stone wall in place. And so that project works, like you said, a win-win for both. That division of land between the national park and us, that's an extension right now, is that correct?
Yes, it's an extension. Actually, the purpose was more for habitat for wildlife. Actually, we have more wildlife on this property. There is no physical delimitation that prevents animal to exit the park coming into our property. So there is a free movement between our property and the park.
I mean, you're starting to see a lot of animals come down. There's been reports of elephant moving down to the lodge. I think I've seen almost every day here herds of buffalo coming down. There's even been reports of some serval cats that have been sighted, which is amazing, and obviously a number of antelope. Further to the other projects that we offer within the community, maybe if you could touch on the Singita Community Culinary School and how that develops some of the community members as well.
It's another project to benefit the community, because the student that we train, they complete the program, they get a job, and they support their families. So Singita Community Culinary School here in Rwanda started in 2021. Every year, we select 10 students from the area that I told you that we work with. We have now 3 cohorts of 30 students who completed the program. 5% of them, they work. They have a job. They work in the different lodges and hotels, in the kitchens.
85% yes, pass them through the program and are currently. That's amazing. It's
yes,
incredible.
Yes. And 23% of them, so they work in the kitchen of Singita here, Kito Nalikataza House. And they're doing very well. We can give you an example of Giselle, who is really shining. Actually, this program, the student graduates as a commis chef, but now Giselle is promoted to demi chef de partie, and she's really able to manage a kitchen on her own.
Absolutely. So, and I had the experience of being in Kataza House when Giselle was working, and it's really testament to her training that she really is of an incredibly high level of service. And I think from a number of the students that are brought in, some of them, I would imagine, have really very little knowledge of being a chef or how to be a chef and have just shown an interest. And this has created an incredible opportunity for them to be able to excel in a career that they are interested in.
If they complete this program, they get a job, they go back and they support their families. So the more the community, they see this support.
There's one more piece that I wanted to touch on the projects, and that was the annual donation of housing.
Yeah, as I told you, it's a long list of what I now have been trying to work for the community. Yes, it's true. This year we donated 2 houses to the communities. These 2 houses were given to 2 needy families of survivors of genocide against the Tutsi. As Singita, we join the rest of Rwandans to commemorate the genocide. We do it every year. So 2 houses were donated. Actually, 2 free furnished houses.
Furnished houses?
Yes. A house, a kitchen, bathroom, whatever. Also, we gave actually 4 cows, because last year we gave 2 cows, and this year we gave 2 cows. Those are 4 cows.
And the cow is a very important commodity to people that are living in the local villages. A cow can support them not only as a sense of a source of food, milk, and then obviously breeding them as well, to have a number of cows in a pasture. The one thing I wanted to mention is that there's a new levy in Rwanda, which was introduced, I believe, around 2025. Can you talk a bit about this and the impact that it will have on the communities?
This is still new, because it's true. It's there. It started in July this year. So it's there to support tourism industry. Now, supporting tourism industry means a lot in terms of community development, because this industry employ a lot of people from the community, from everywhere.
I think it's a very important part. One of the biggest revenue streams, I'm sure, is supporting the community in terms of the conservation that comes from the trekking permit that each guest pays to go on the gorilla treks. Tell us a bit about how the communities around Singita benefit from some of the success stories that you've seen.
Yeah, it's a true revenue sharing scheme, a scheme that started in 2005. Now, 10% goes from this tourism, goes to support community project every year. I move around the community, and some of the projects that were supposed by through this scheme are very visible. Can say school classrooms. We are put up, we are built, support for potatoes, seed multiplication for some cooperative, some rainwater tank we are giving to the community. I even see some houses that we are built to support needy families. around Volcanoes National Park.
And you can definitely see that domino effect that's happening when you talk about how many people are impacted through tourism coming into Rwanda and how important it is. You have your guide that takes you on the gorilla trek. You have porters that assist you with bags or cameras that are carrying them up there. And then you also have your trackers that are out looking for the gorillas as well. And then there's probably a domino effect to all of them earning an income to allow them to sustain their families and be able to buy goods from some of the local farmers that have obviously been assisted as well. One thing, Martin, that I've noticed, I was here 4 years ago, is how incredible the vegetation has actually grown around the lodge and the sort of foothills of some of those volcanoes. It brings me to where it sort of connects people, place, and purpose. And one of the aspects of that is the land itself. And maybe if we could talk about reforestation and how important that is to this area.
Reforestation that you are trying to do here at Tingita, Kiton and Kataza House is very, very important. Actually, the initial plan for conservation at Tingita here was to expand the habitat for wildlife. We are now almost there because different wildlife came back on this property. We can say like hyena was spotted on the property. That's one, because of reforestation, because the habitat came back on this property. It used to be farmland. Actually, reforestation is transforming farmland to a forest, a habitat for wildlife. From the beginning of this property, we could only find 5 bird species. Now we can find more than 100 bird species. So it shows that this reforestation is doing well. You know, it's bringing back wildlife on this property. So that's why actually we keep doing it. You can see big areas reforested now, but we keep going down, more reforesting, actually planting more trees. And what we do, we remove alien tree species like these eucalyptus trees, among others, and then we plant indigenous trees. It's to provide more habitat for wildlife, gorillas and other wildlife, and it's doing well. It's working.
And part of that in removing alien plants, there's also a bit of a project of the community that assists with that process.
Yeah, definitely, yes. I gave some example for the animals, the wildlife that came back on the property. I only said birds, talk about hyena, but also frogs. All these conservation activities that we do, including this tree planting, this deforestation, they provide opportunities to the community. So the ones who come, they do this stump removal, eucalyptus removal, and other alien species removal. They're the ones who do tree planting, who work on this nursery, tree seedlings preparation, among other activities. It's another way of giving them opportunity.
Absolutely. A number of guests that I've spoken to while being here at Kwatondo and Kataza House have noted that they really felt a moving experience to add back to the forest by tree planting in the area. And we've often heard this point saying that a number of staff and guests that have returned back to Singida Kwatondo are saying the forest is coming because we're starting to see the wildlife move into those areas, which is really great. So this buffer zone that's now been created around the Volcanoes National Park, I think has definitely added critical conservation towards the gorillas. I got to see firsthand with a nature walk with Robert Mugabe, the naturalist that's here on site at Singita. His eyes lit up when he spoke about the species that have returned. And one of the things, as you mentioned, was a spotted hyena that was seen. And he said that it was actually captured on a camera trap that was placed in the reserve. And I know that's part of the research that's going on into those areas. The importance of having a spotted hyena being sighted just adds another level of the achievement and the success of many of these community development projects that you've been a part of. But I wanted to come back to you and really because of the importance of it, and I think it's so close to many of us, and that's healthcare. If you could give us a bit more information about that.
We contribute to healthcare for the community, for the needy families as well. In Rwanda, to make sure the access to health is easy, everybody is supposed to have contribute for health insurance. So some of the people here, the needy people, they don't have the means to afford this health insurance. So that's why last year we contributed for health insurance for 2,571 people from this area. So this is a really good contribution that everybody is grateful for. We even have a plan for supporting more this year. I'm now working closely with the local leadership to know how many are struggling to find the health insurance. but we have budget for supporting them again.
And I think that's important because a lot of these programs are ongoing. It's not like it finishes. It just keeps getting bigger, actually.
Yeah.
And so, again, coming back to the benefit of tourism in Rwanda and how this has had a very positive ripple effect through the communities. Martin, thank you again for your time today and all the critical work that you do. It's inspiring to see how our guest stay here directly contributes to the conservation and the community resilience. And our listeners can see more details in our show notes. And the one thing that really stands out is how important your position is and how important our communities are and how important conservation as a whole is. And keep fulfilling that circle and the beautiful space that Rwanda holds it in. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, all of our guests, for coming in Rwanda. Your presence is what makes everything to happen.
Well, thank you again to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of the Singida podcast, Safari Conversations. Until next time. Thank you for listening. If you want to follow other episodes of our podcast series, Safari Conversations, please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from, or on our website at singida.com.